into the theater and the usher nods me in. They know me here. I descend down the staircase behind the movie screen that only select people know about. The door at the bottom opens and I walk in. The sound of movie spoilers fill the air. The barkeep has my drink ready and motions me to the back. The rest of the crew are here already. This is my type of place, and these are my type of people. Join me as we discuss the inner secrets of cinema. Have a seat in the spoiler room.
And here we are, partners, back in the spoiler room for Western Month. So mosey on up to the bar and take a seat with the rest of us in the spoiler room as we talk about 1993 Tombstone. And tonight in the room with me, I've got a great crew with me. It's a small crew, but it's nice, close, and intimate. And speaking of nice, close, and intimate, who better to get nice, close, and intimate with than the BFD himself, Mr. Glenn Bittner. Hello, Glenn.
Hey there, Cuddle Buddy.
Yeah, it's cold out on the desert trail, so, you know, got to find some way to keep warm. And next to him is a trail leader himself. He's back once again in the spoiler room to talk Westerns, and it is David. Hello, David. How are you?
Hello there, Pilgrim.
Awesome. Glad you can make it here in the spoiler room to talk about this other Wyatt Earp film, possibly described as the better Wyatt Earp film. Yes, it's Tombstone from 1993.
It was a place where a man could start over, where a fortune could be made. They say every town has a story. Tombstone has a legend.
Who is he?
That's Wyatt Earp. Made a name for himself as a peace officer.
I heard of you.
I'm retired.
You must be Doc Holliday. You retired too?
Not me. I'm in my prime.
Hollywood Pictures presents...
The only real law around here is the cowboys.
The story of Wyatt Earp.
The first time in our lives we got a chance to stop wandering and finally be a family. Now this is trouble we don't need.
If we're gonna have a future in this town, it's gotta have some law and order.
What do you want, Ringo?
I want your blood. I want your soul. I want them both right now.
They shot your brother.
Now the time has come for justice.
Guess maybe you better swear me in.
And he has to live up to his reputation.
You got a fight coming.
I'll be there!
One last time.
None of your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
In a battle.
The last charge of Wyatt Earp and his immortals.
At the OK Corral.
Oh, my God.
The West would never forget. Kurt Russell. Val Kilmer. Dana Delaney. Powers Booth. Michael Biehn. Bill Paxton. Jason Priestley, Sam Elliott, and Charlton Heston.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me!
Justice is coming to Tombstone.
Now, for those of you not familiar with Tombstone, it is the story after the success of cleaning up Dodge City, Wyatt Earp moves to Tombstone, Arizona, and wishes to get rich in obscurity. He meets his brothers there, as well as his old friend Doc Holliday. A band of outlaws that call themselves the Cowboys are causing problems in the region with various acts of random violence and inevitably come into confrontation with Holliday and the Earps, which leads to a shootout at the OK Corral. Yes, history buffs out there, you know this term. Many people probably don't know the story of OK Corral, and this film tries to tell it anyway. So first, we're going to go with Glenn and his initial thoughts. Glenn, you remember when you first saw Tombstone, and how'd you feel about it?
No. I like it overall. Mm-hmm. There are parts where particularly Kurt Russell, is extremely over the top. I think Val Kilmer, this is his lifetime performance as Doc Holliday. I think he utterly shines in that role. The villains, I felt, were a little cardboard cutout-y. Even the ones they tried to make a little interesting, but this was all about Kurt Russell, and it was all about Earp and Holliday.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed quite a bit of it. I love how there's still things going on with like the families of the descendants who still argue about what happened that day.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, oh yeah. Yeah. It's that, you know, Earp was kind of a troublemaker, and, you know, he went there looking to pick a fight, and these, you know, the poor cowboy guys, you know, they were just, you know, they're having some, you know, just there hanging out and reading the Bible to poor people. And Earp just shows up with his, you know, his drunkard friend, and they just start shooting everybody because that's what they do.
Oh, yeah. And David, how about you? When you first saw Tombstone, how'd you like about it or feel about it?
See, a lot of movies, when I first saw them, I would enjoy them, like when I wasn't analyzing them. Sure. So, now that I've seen this again, I actually enjoyed this film a little bit better than I did when I first saw it, because I haven't exactly been a fan of Val Kilmer.
Sure.
But I actually agree with Glenn here, where he actually shines as Doc. You almost cannot recognize him as Val Kilmer, because I think he just kind of has that way about him where he's just this classic drunk. And I mean, even in the scene where he first meets Billy, he displays a sort of comedy that was just what kind of brought his character into play. So, enjoyed it then. I enjoyed it a little bit more this time. It probably more so because of the overacting and the
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, the overacting of Kurt Russell, and nod to rest in peace with Bill Paxton there. But was that Lyle Lovett as as one of the cowboy hands?
No. There was a lot of people. There was a lot of people in this.
Powers Booth was the main bat. Was the main cowboy, and then you had a few others. Who was it?
Michael Biehn was Johnny Ringo.
Yeah, Michael Biehn, Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, Jason Priestley was in here.
Yeah,
the blonde hair.
Charlton Heston's in it. Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Bob Thornton.
There was a huge amount of people, and this was like, this was a big event film. This had Harry Carey Jr. in it. You had Robert Mitchum doing the voiceover. You have Billy Zane show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of odd, where he showed up as the actor.
The actor, you know,
Wyatt Earp's in it too.
Yeah. Wyatt Earp is in this. A gentleman named Wyatt Earp, who plays Billy Claiborne. You have Terry O'Quinn in here. Frank Stallone shows up in here. This had like...
I didn't recognize Frank in there.
Christopher Mitchum played a really small, short role, apparently. Yeah.
Yep.
So many people in this film.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I got when I first watched it. I enjoyed it. When I watched it a second time, I appreciated Val Kilmer's performance even more, just like you two. And I also noticed Kurt Russell's overacting a lot more this time around watching it.
It's like he almost brought a bit of Snake Bliskin into the role.
Almost, not quite the hardcore Plissken though. More of just the melodrama bit, maybe. The Wyatt Earp brothers. As we mentioned, Kurt Russell in here, Val Kilmer, Bill Paxton plays one of the younger brothers, and Sam Elliott as well, who is a man who, when you think the word Western, it's Sam Elliott. I mean, that guy, he's like, that's him. If you have a Western that you can afford Sam Elliott in, you should put him in because of his voice and just him. Sam Elliott's a badass. And he's badass in this one, too. So, I mean, this cast is just huge. And, yeah, Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp, you mentioned the no, Glenn. And I sat down with Honorable Son Number One and watched this because, as I found out last year, he enjoys Westerns. Didn't know that. So we sat down and watched this, and he did not like this film at all. But he started laughing when we get to the scene where Kurt Russell, where Wyatt Earp is facing down the last of Curly Bill's group, and he's just yelling, "No, no, no,
yep. No,
no,
no."
Now, David, how did you feel about these three? Did you think that they felt like brothers? Did you think they played it all right? I mean, Kurt Russell, Sam Elliott, and Bill Paxton. How did you feel about their chemistry as far as brothers go?
I believe that the chemistry was definitely there. Mm-hmm. Because as he's getting off the train, he's getting bombarded by these politicians he's retired. He just does not want to commit to anything. He wants to retire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he, I mean, when he's when he hits the guy with the horse or whatnot, you know,
yeah.
That's basically kind of the introduction. When is that my brother? You know?
Yeah, they do play him up kind of as a badass, though. As my son pointed out, they do mention in here that his legend almost precedes him more so to being more than what he was, because his character later on reveals he only actually was in ever one true gunfight where he had to kill someone. Yep. Glenn, how'd you feel about the Earp brothers, and did they feel like brothers, and the character of Wyatt Earp in general? How'd you feel they handled him?
I think they did all right. I mean, I think part of the problem is that you have, Val Kilmer, just every scene he's in, he overshadows everyone.
He does.
And not even like a little bit. They're like, oh yeah, he's really good. It's just like, yeah, that's, it's a professionally trained, Shakespearean actor and a bunch of kindergartners out there flopping around. So, although there could have been, I mean, some of the original ideas for casting are just, I mean, they originally wanted William Dafoe for Doc Holliday.
Wow.
Buena Vista wouldn't refuse to distribute if he was cast because of the whole stuff with Last Temptation of Christ. And right. Mickey Rourke was originally up for Johnny Ringo.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Eek. Oof. Dodged a bullet with those.
So, yeah, that would have been a much different film.
definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I buy him as brothers. I mean, aside from the fact that their mom must have started really young and ended really late. Because the fact that I'm supposed to believe that Sam Elliott is brothers with Bill Paxton. I don't even know what their actual age difference is in real life, or would have been. I mean, obviously with Paxton having passed, but
yeah.
So Elliott, actually they're only 11 years age difference. Mm-hmm. Wow, they look a lot more than that in the movie.
Sam Elliott's looked like
70 for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. He's definitely
like a healthy, I could still beat your ass into the ground 70.
Yeah.
A cowboy 70. So
A cowboy 70. Yeah, where he'll stab you with his spurs as he kicks the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right though. Val Kilmer does kind of overshadow pretty much anyone whenever he's in a scene.
And to me, it's like the camera goes right to him whenever he's in a scene.
Well, it seems like you're just naturally drawn to him, because one of the interesting things with him is because the Doc Holliday character in real life as well suffered from tuberculosis, and Doc Holliday is a badass, but he never once looks healthy in any scene.
No, not at all.
And that, I think, is odd, because you're getting behind a character who you know, is, especially for back then, is dying. But, I mean, really, what'd you think of that makeup and stuff? I mean, he was, like, constantly sweating, Glenn. I mean,
yeah.
You know, how'd you think of his look? I mean,
I think it was fitting. I mean, he died at, like, it was, like, 30-some years old when he died.
Mm-hmm.
From, what was it, tuberculosis, I think.
Right.
He was sick for a long time. I thought he did a great job with it. You know, I mean, how much of it is not just the makeup, but the acting that Kilmer does as well.
Yeah, you believe he's ill.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, you lose Val Kilmer, you actually think you're watching Doc Holliday, and he is ill, yet he's still a badass with a gun. David, what about you with the look of Val Kilmer and Doc Holliday? Did you buy in that this character was continuously fighting this illness?
Oh yeah, any scene that I saw him in, even when he was with his girl, was it Kate?
Yeah.
He was just looking sicker and sicker by the moment. To me, I mean, when you first see him in that card game, I like that he went down to the boot shot where you see the pair of
right
pair of aces on his socks or pants or whatever was on his, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was like each scene, it seemed like there was a little bit more of a sickness to him, you know, as the scenes progressed.
Yeah, it did. You bought into it. And that was an important thing with his character, because it showed just how much he still kicked ass, especially when he first meets. Oh, I love that scene. See, I like Michael Biehn, and I actually like Michael Biehn in the Johnny Ringo character. And I thought that scene where those two first see each other in the poker, where they do the flipping of the gun versus the flipping of the shot glass. David, what'd you think about that scene in Michael Biehn's as Johnny Ringo?
I thought that was actually great.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you think that there's going to be an actual gunfight with how everyone just goes silent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's just kind of, all right, what are these guys going to do? And instead, he pulls out that little mug or whatever he's drinking, and pretty much does this whole trick that the guy did with his mug. And
mm-hmm.
I thought,
well, they also have an exchange of Latin.
Yeah,
with each other in that scene, which threw me off as well. I'm like, wow, we're not just doing a pissing contest of who can spin a gun better. We're also trying to show who's the edubicated one. Glenn, how'd you feel about Michael Biehn's Johnny Ringo and that scene where he and Doc Holliday first meet?
I like that. It's a debated thing of whether or not Billie Holiday actually killed Johnny Ringo.
Oh,
Ringo was found dead in the crook of a tree with a gun in his hand, hanging off his finger with one shot to the temple, and it was originally ruled a suicide. But then someone who wrote a book claimed that Doc Holliday and some of his friends tracked him down and killed him. So it's not known for sure if they ever, because they were like bitter, bitter enemies.
Yeah.
In like real life. So, mm-hmm. And I do like some of the real life things they take and put in the movie. I mean, the gunfight at the OK Corral where the one guy basically says, he goes, you know, I got you now, Doc. And Doc replies, you're Daisy if you do. Which is something he apparently actually said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I know there's one or two, two or three of the tombstones that you see up on Boot Hill mm-hmm. are actual tombstones that are there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's like the one where it was, here lays Lester Moore.
Yeah.
Four slugs from a .44, no less, no more. That's mm-hmm. like a real tombstone up there. So there's little things they threw in there. They changed a little bit. I know, I think... Because, like, I mean, Wyatt Earp didn't know about Doc Holliday dying for, like, 2 months.
Right.
He didn't visit him regularly at the hospital. They had had a bit of a falling out when Wyatt made some rather racial slurs about Wyatt's lady friend.
Oh.
Yes, and her Jewish heritage. So,
yeah. That'll do it.
So...
It was, now that you mentioned it, with the relationships too, it was interesting the angle they took with the Wyatt Earp's character, because here you have a guy who they tried to paint his wife as being the, you know, the addict, and at the same time, he's hardcore lusting after this actress. Glenn, what did you think about that quote-unquote, I guess, romance angle they took with the story? I mean, do you think, well, I'm not familiar at all with history, you'll have to excuse me. Is that rather accurate, or were they taking some liberties?
I think it was fairly accurate. I mean, I know what his one wife had, like, some head drug addiction to, is it laudanum?
Laudanum, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically
opium. Yeah, their opiate painkiller they had back then. And he did, from what I understand... boy, if I'm trying to remember now, I used to know a lot of this because actually, a guy I went to grade school with is descendant of or related to Doc Holliday.
Oh,
it's like a fifth or sixth cousin or something like that. But you know, it's Doc Holliday's in the family. Sure. Trying to remember now, it's been a long time since I've had to remember all of this, but I know so the actress. What was her name?
I know Josephine.
Josephine, yeah, played by Dana. Actually, both of them were Dana's, the actresses. I'm pretty sure that was a. Although, if I remember right, he in real life he met her. He didn't meet her in Tombstone. It was
right.
I think it was in California somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So it was probably after the events of
yeah.
After the events of this, though, I like Dana Delaney in this as the Josephine character. I thought she was a fairly strong female character in this movie throughout, which it's 93, so you'll have to excuse me, but for back then, I thought she played a fairly strong character in here as well. But
For me,
I just thought it was interesting that they were playing it up that, you know, here Wyatt Earp is kind of going after this other woman and he's married, you know.
A womanizer.
Yeah. Did that surprise you too, David, that they kind of took that angle? He's supposed to be the hero and yet they're doing this and you're like, dude.
And it surprised me at the time. That they were playing it. I mean, it didn't surprise me then. It more was a record. Once I saw it again more when it was being played on TNT, because my dad would watch a lot of Westerns and war films and whatnot, so I would catch glimpses here and there, and this was a film that I always seemed to be able to enjoy. So, as I grew older, I think I started noticing that particular character Wyatt Earp was actually quite a ladies' man, even though he was kind of a stern character, you know?
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting. It, actually, in a good way that they, and also an unusual way that they have your main character here, and they weren't kind of glossing over the fact that, you know, he's having troubles at home and he's still being kind of the ladies' man.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, like I said, they obviously condensed a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
well, yeah.
Earp was, I mean, for lack of a term, he was a bit of an ass.
Sure.
Because he had like gone off to California where he met Josephine. And then I know the two of them, like months later, went into somewhere in Colorado. Was it Colorado? Mm-hmm. They went somewhere looking for gold, I think. Sure. And at that point, Maddie has, they were never officially married, but they were common law.
Right.
She was still, they still had a house in Tombstone, but she was living somewhere else at the time. And she wanted a divorce because she had met someone. And Wyatt didn't believe in divorce, so he said no, even though he was with Josephine at the time. And then she ended up like leaving him. She like ran away with the gambler, and then you know, so mm-hmm. yeah. So yeah, I mean, and the thing is it's not sure what relationship he had with Josephine at the time,
right?
Because he was playing, you know, kind of the you know, oh no, we're not together kind of thing. But I mean. That was, I mean, before they were officially together was when he was falling out with Doc Holliday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the, you know, he got really upset with someone who he wasn't dating for what she was called. But sure. Yeah, so.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that they included that in here because a lot of films like this, they try, at least especially older ones like this, they seem to gloss over a little bit of real life events. So, and Kurt Russell's character, yeah, his Wyatt Earp was a bit of an ass. Even in this movie,
yeah.
for most of it, you know, and then until he kind of goes off and goes on his run of the Immortals after the OK Corral, where he and the guys are just starting obliterating the Cowboys, which I thought was interesting with the shootout at the OK Corral. We actually... It's the film's called Tombstone, and I'm sure you know anyone who's familiar with the story is waiting for that moment. And you think with a movie that they would possibly put it as the climax, but we get this like an hour 15 minutes in, we actually get the shootout at the OK Corral. David, what'd you think about that? We actually get kind of the epic legendary shootout for kind of halfway through the film.
Well, you kind of have to have that the action-based film in a Western these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was kind of different at the time to show the actual fight so soon.
Right.
Because you're so used to okay, there's all this drama, and then there's the shooting at the end. You know, it's sometimes Hollywood just has that simple storyline that you pretty much follow, and then there's this like big all kahua at the end. You know, I think it was kind of different. Because then you there was an after story afterwards, you know.
Right, the rampaging part of Wyatt Earp just going around annihilating everybody with his crew. Glenn, how about you? Did it surprise you at all that the OK shootout at the OK Corral actually comes in a little over halfway through the movie?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. If you have it too early, I mean, I think they did a fine job, you know, kind of setting up a little bit of character ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Without, because if you just go to it right away, now it's just 2 hours of him just chasing everyone down, and I think that gets boring. With the way they were doing it, where it's just basically, you know, it's let's show them riding for 4 seconds and then a big shootout. Right. And I don't know. It's just I think it was timed fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, you kind of want to see him go after the leader, because at the OK Corral, you don't actually have Curly Bill there. So you don't have the final, you know, you don't have the hero versus the villain that you've set up. You don't actually get that till later. So I guess they would have to keep going after the OK Corral to tell the story. So you get that confrontation between Wyatt Earp and Curly Bill, which really is... I don't know about that scene, man. Glenn, we've talked about it. We've hinted at it. Let's take it full on. The scene where Wyatt Earp and his immortals are rampaging, and they finally kind of corner Curly Bill, and he decides they're trapped from both sides, and Wyatt Earp pulls a action hero move. This scene, I don't know. This scene doesn't quite work for me. How much you...
So apparently, so in actual history, that shootout actually happens.
Okay.
In real life, that happened. At that creek, Wyatt does kill Curly Bill. Mm-hmm. And there's the one guy, the guy who yells at, was it Jesus Christ, the one that he shoots.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Barnes.
Uh-huh.
In real life, Wyatt shot him in the stomach, but he didn't die.
Oh.
He escaped, and died in a farmhouse later, but however, apparently before he died, he told the story of how Wyatt walked into a hail of gunfire unscathed, walked right up to Curly Bill, and shot him point blank with both barrels of a double shotgun.
Wow, really? So that was...
Apparently that, I mean, according to, you know, sure. What this, you know, the last words of this dying man is that apparently that's what happened. He just walked through a hail of gunfire and point blank killed Curly Bill.
Huh. Wow. See, and like you said, I'm horrible with history. So I I could have done without him yelling no.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the way he does it. That it's like that almost slow motion, like, no. No.
There's that you again.
Yeah. Well, not quite as bad as the Darth Vader no, but
yeah. But and watching the movie, you can also see that Kurt Russell really directed this film.
Oh yeah,
In a lot of ways. I mean, they have a director on here, but everything I've heard about this film is that once the original director was fired, Kurt Russell was pretty much directing it, and I forget that guy's name who actually is listed as the credit for director.
George
was really just kind of a ghost director. Right. He was just kind of there, but Kurt Russell was running the show.
And George P. Cosmatos.
Yeah, who was apparently recommended by Stallone.
Oh.
The Sylvester Stallone, not the Frank. I don't think anyone listening to anything that Frank recommends. Except maybe like, you know, where there's a good, you know, meatball sandwich, maybe.
Maybe. So, yeah, so pretty much Kurt did direct most of the film, which I guess you can kind of see, especially with the way some of his character was late in some of those scenes. So that does.
I can just Sylvester Stallone's Rocky voice. Hey, director. I know a guy who knows a guy.
He got you covered. You got to put my brother in the scene, though. Yeah. Frank needs work, so so yeah, I you know, that scene with the shootout, I wish he wouldn't have done the no thing. I do enjoy it, but because it is pretty like cinematic Hollywood like but you know, if that's the way the legend is, that's cool that they went pretty accurate, you know, with that. I just could have done without the nose personally.
What would you say if you died?
Hmm?
What would you say if you got shot?
Well, no. Well, yeah, I know, right? Well, he was unscathed, I tell you. but you know, Kurt Russell's no, just yeah. That stood out for my kid as well. He watched that and just like, oh man. The other cool confrontation we have is that final story that, as Glenn mentioned, you know, is legend but disputed. The confrontation between Doc Holliday and Johnny Ringo. And This is actually
Huckleberry.
Huh?
I said, I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah. What I this film and watching it, and I've watched a lot of movies and stuff, but there's something really haunting about this series. The scene here where you have this confrontation between Doc Holliday and Johnny Ringo, and Val Kilmer and Michael Biehn play it so well, but this film, just from when he shows up and says, I'm your Huckleberry, because Ringo is expecting Wyatt Earp, and instead Doc Holliday shows up, and man, it, from start to finish, this is just a really kind of chilling, creepy scene. David, what about you? How'd you feel with this scene, with the confrontation, the final battle, if you will, between Doc and Johnny Ringo?
I enjoyed Bean's character from start to finish, actually. because he was always so serious.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Holliday said with his educated, you know,
mm-hmm.
Confrontation. Or meeting or whatnot. I think when he confronted Doc, that was definitely feel creepy to me, because I got that eerie feeling, you know, okay, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Right. Well, that scene in the woods, I mean, you're expecting Wyatt Earp and Ringo to kind of throw down, and there's Doc, and that exchange, and just the way the scene was lidded and everything, I thought was creepy. Glenn, how about you? Would you say the same thing, that scene is really kind of cold and creepy, isn't it?
Maybe a little bit.
I guess for me, the part that gets creepy is after he shoots him in the head. The thing that Doc does, come on,
yeah,
oh my god, he did, just doing that part, I'm like, oh man, that's cold. Like, holy shit. Like, just that little bit. But again, as we've alluded to for most of the show, this is the Val Kilmer show. This, if you're wondering, if you have any criticism, wondering if Val Kilmer has any chops at all, this film is definitely a showcase for that. And that scene when he starts saying come on like that makes me wonder if that was a bit improv at all, because you know he was so into the character, because that was just cold and man, that got to me. I don't know why, but
I was never quite sure whether Val before this film, mm-hmm. Whether Val Kilmer could pull off a role such as this, mm-hmm. Because I'm so used to him being that pretty boy actor,
right?
Who just seems to have the same lines, have the same personality, and yet, boom! This role was meant for him to me. This was the true Val Kilmer that we see here.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Glenn? This is pretty much Val Kilmer's show from when he shows up till the end.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And shows his true acting talent, I think. And that's why I think that's why I enjoy it the most, is just I watch it for that. If nothing, I'm like, I can't wait for, yeah, okay, Earps. Okay, fine. I just want the Doc Holliday scenes. I bet you there's a supercut out there on YouTube somewhere or something that someone just put Doc Holliday scenes together. And if not, there should be, because I'd watch that. Because, yeah, he just steals the show. And, you know, cinematography for a Western in here, I thought they captured the Western feel very well, considering it was made in 93. Glenn, just we'll wrap it up here soon, and not a whole lot more to talk about. But I just want to touch on the cinematography, because that is always kind of a big deal in Westerns. How'd you feel about it? Do you think they captured it and gave it a Western feel?
I think for the most part, mm-hmm. there is something that does bother me a little bit about a lot of Westerns, modern Westerns, is that And this one is to a degree that film quality has improved so much that things, even a dirty, you know, dusty town, still look too clean.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's so crisp and clear, and you know that they sit there and they scour every scene and they edit out every little imperfection and blemish, which, you know, for me, I think that's what would give it more of that feel. Right. Because if you compare this to, say, the series Deadwood,
mm-hmm.
Deadwood, I think so much the cinematography is leaps and bounds beyond this movie as far as capturing, you know, that kind of, you know, rough and tumble kind of town. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's just you know, I think that's a lot just to do with how far cinematography has advanced, and also the fact that, I mean, I grew up, you know, with the John Wayne movies and all that stuff, where, you know, it was either black and white or, you know, in Technicolor, where, you know, everyone's lips were super red and
yeah. Yeah, I agree. It does have a little bit too much polish. You really want your Western to look dirty and gritty because, you know, I mean, the streets aren't perfectly just pounded dirt. You know, they're mud and tracks and such. And I think some, like you mentioned, some capture it. David, what about you and the cinematography in here?
I think the cinematography was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Glenn said earlier, with some of the tombstones being some of the original, you know, sayings or whatnot, you know, I mean, they tried,
right,
to make it look like a, you know, the start of a bumbling town, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, supposedly when this all went down, it was still beginning, you know. It was before it was the booming mining town that it became.
Right. Well, it was just reaching it. It's starting getting its legs under them as a mining town. That's why everybody was there, including the Earps, to make some serious cash money on the silver. Which they don't end up making money on silver. They end up being gamblers, but hey, you know, to each his own, whatever they had to do to make money. Though,
wasn't it the story of the Earps where supposedly the dead man's hand came about?
I'm not sure. Glenn, do you know at all? The dead man's hand, did that come from the Earps by chance? Or
no, dead man's hand is... Wild Bill Hickok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's actually from Dead Man, because it's the hand he was holding when he was shot.
Ah, okay. Cool. Boy, you're just full of knowledge, Glenn. I'm impressed. I am humbled by your knowledge, and I bow to your
expertise. Eights is over eights. That's a whole nother story. The one time he didn't sit with his back to the wall, which is how he usually sat.
Mm-hmm. Which I think his story has been told in a film or two, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, and he was in the series Deadwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which I still have to see. I heard it's fantastic. So. Back to the tombstone. We'll wrap it up here. It's if anything, folks, watch it for Val Kilmer in this. And if you're a history buff, and also if you've got your choice, and in fact, that's how we'll close it out tonight. We'll just go down with the crew real quick and say, okay, which one did you want to watch? Because there was another one that came out around this time as well. By Kevin Costner, called Wyatt Earp. So we'll go down the list real quick, and I think we know what Glenn's answer will be. Glenn, if you had your choice between Wyatt Earp and Tombstone, which one would you rather watch?
So I can watch Wyatt Earp, or I can watch Kevin Costner in a cowboy hat. Tombstone, or Kevin Costner in a cowboy hat, yeah, I'm going to have to pick Tombstone.
Yeah, Wyatt Earp came out in 94, but that was 3 hours and 11 minutes long. And Tombstone came in just over 2 hours. So I don't blame you. David, how about you? Wyatt Earp or Tombstone, which would you prefer to watch?
I guess I'd prefer to watch Tombstone, but yeah. I guess for old time's sake, I'd probably put in Wyatt Earp and see what happens. Kevin Costner trying to do his Robin Hood character in a Wyatt Earp costume. Yeah.
In that one,
Robin Hood, Men in Tights Part 2.
And in that one, you had, I believe, Dennis Quaid was playing Doc Holliday in that one. But yeah, that one's 3 hours and 11 minutes long. And I'll say as well, Tombstone is the good Wyatt Earp story. I've seen both, and I watched Tombstone again. I watched Wyatt Earp once just to compare the two, and it is a Kevin Costner film, so it goes on for a long time.
I believe there was only one other Wyatt Earp film, I believe, but it was more of a low budget, called Wyatt Earp's Revenge, that came out a couple of years ago. But
really?
I believe it was a direct-to-video film. Oh.
Sure.
But it was just a low-budget Western that they popped out with a few others. So if you wanted to check that out, I suppose you could.
Yeah, well, the Wyatt Earp story has been told in many different forms, and it's been played by many different people. But if you're wondering for a recommendation, as you heard it here, folks, if you had your choice between the two more modern tales, go with Tombstone. So we're going to wrap it up here tonight. I'm just going to go down the line here and have these fine gentlemen let you know where they can find you at. Find them at, not find you at. No, they're not creeping around your house. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. But where you can find them at when they're not here. Glenn?
You can find me on YouTube with the B-Movie Bunker, which I'll update again someday, maybe, I don't know, along with my films from Guy in a Bunker Productions and Naked Hobo Productions. You can find me at guyinabunker.com. You can also find me on Facebook and my gaming podcast that I do with the wonderful Brad Ludwig on gncast.com. That's The Adventure Party, or just follow me on Twitter at Guy in a Bunker.
Awesome. And David, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Movies Galore of Milwaukee. I'm starting up a show of my own with a crew of my own next week, Tuesday, called Inside Movies Galore. So definitely check me out. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
Awesome. Well, glad to have you both in here to talk about this film. It is Western month. A lot of people say this genre is dead, but it's much alive here in the spoiler room this month. Next week, it's the third week, so you know it's a third time's a charm episode, and it's going to be the third film in the Man with No Name series. Yes, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly we're talking about next week, so you'll want to tune in for that. Please. You're going to want to tune in for that one. Should be a fun conversation once again. Find us on Twitter at Special Mark Pro. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please rate, subscribe, and comment. Love to hear your voice and what films you might like us to talk about here in the spoiler room. So we're going to dust off our hats, mount our horses, and say goodnight, everyone. So say goodnight, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Yeehaw.